Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Today I'm going to do Having a Great Advent or How to Have a Great Advent, Part 2. Yesterday I talked about the liturgical season, things like that. You can go to the Dr. Tom Curran podcast to dive into that. Today we're going to take a look at some of the distinctive ways that we actually live our Advent in accord with the church's liturgical season. One of the things I brought up yesterday, but I didn't explain, I'm going to explain it today, is that because Advent is about the coming of Jesus, there's a distinct form of penitence. There's a distinct form of the meaning of penance that differs from the penitential season of Lent. And it's, for me, I find it fascinating, and it'll change our mindset, right? You can have a certain mindset for how you envision, how you approach doing acts of self-denial, picking up your cross, and other forms of penance that you might embrace over the course of this liturgical season. So as we get launched into the program, I'm going to talk a bit about the distinctiveness of the coming of Jesus and how that influences how we ought to do penance, how we ought to prepare and live our penitential season of Advent. Along the way, we'll also talk a bit about some of the things that makes it particularly challenging to live Advent in the contemporary American scene. These things, you'll probably nod your head and say, yeah, I get that. I realize that that's a challenge. But maybe we can focus a bit more on what we can do about it. So we'll talk about that as well. So I'm excited to dive into the program with you today. Lots to cover, and we'll get started in just 1 minute. I'll be back. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. Begin today's program with the gospel reading that you heard on Sunday. It's a beautiful summary of the, let's call it the spirituality or the way of envisioning the Advent season. So be attentive to the Word of God. This is from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and we praise you and thank you, Father, that we can approach you with confidence and with delight. Lord, we look to you and we say, may your Son come into our lives in a new way, in a new dimension. Jesus, come. Do not hold back. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would stir within us the graces we need to live this liturgical season well. Lord, we don't want to settle for less. We want to maximize the fruit that you desire for us to bear. And Lord, we thank you in advance for all that you will do. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I brought up yesterday in how to have a great Advent is noticing that the season of Advent isn't about us approaching Christmas. It's not about us walking these days towards the nativity, the birth of Jesus. That's not the meaning of Advent. Adventus, the Latin word, Adventus, doesn't mean going. The essence of the season is not about us going anywhere. Adventus means coming. It's about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so it puts Jesus at the center. It puts his action, the action of the living God, at the center of our perspective, at the center of our thinking. And as a result of that, it will also orient how we undertake actions like acts of penance or penitence, where we will take on sacrificial actions and actions of self-denial. What makes these different meanings hold together is that theme of coming, that Jesus is coming, right? Now, of course, we know, when did Jesus come? First of all, he came 2,000 years ago, right? The long-expected Messiah, the prophesied Messiah came 2,000 years ago. When will Jesus come again? What's another coming of Jesus? Of course, we know that's the coming of the Son of Man at the end of time. Okay, great. So those are the two pivotal comings. But are those the only comings of Jesus into our lives? And the answer is no. And Advent can get us into a mindset of, let's call it, an Advent-focused approach to our own lives of faith. So when else did you experience the coming of Jesus? Well, you went to Mass on Sunday. It was the first Sunday of Advent. Did you receive Holy Communion? Yes, that was a coming of Jesus. Jesus came to you in a very intimate and profound way, a transformative way. The coming of Jesus as Holy Communion, that was an encounter with the living Lord. That could change the entire trajectory of your life. That changed, okay, now listen, that changed your forever. Wow, I'm not making that up. How you received Holy Communion, that you received Holy Communion, the quality of the expectant faith, the state of grace, the readiness, the worthiness from the standpoint of grace with which you received Holy Communion, it increased a share in sanctifying grace, which is divine life, which is how you will live forever. Do you carry that awareness with you that every coming of Jesus in Holy Communion is impacting your forever? It's impacting your forever. And not only that, but there's a dramatic aspect to it. Sometimes you'll hear it, there'll be an announcement before Holy Communion. If you're a practicing Catholic, please come forward. If you're not, you can fold your arms and receive a blessing. I wish they would say, if you're a practicing Catholic in the state of grace, that if you have any awareness of having committed a mortal sin, do not come forward to receive Holy Communion, but first make a sacramental confession and then come forward to receive Holy Communion. If 1 Corinthians chapter 11 has a scary little reference in St. Paul, says that those who are eating and drinking the body of the Lord, those who are receiving communion, those who are eating and drinking the body of the Lord without recognizing him, if they're not worthy, they're getting sick and dying. There's something at stake. There's a dramatic dimension to how we receive Holy Communion. That's the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus expects or calls forth from us not only an alertness and an awareness of who it is we're receiving, but a level of preparation, a level of cleansing, a level of fittingness when we receive him in Holy Communion. All right, hold on to that theme, because that theme is going to get us to one of the principal facets to how we live the penitential season of Advent. Let's talk, though, about other comings of Jesus. So there's the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago, coming of Jesus at the end of time, coming of Jesus, Holy Communion. How about reading Scripture? It's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. Jesus comes to us as the bread of life, not only in the form of Eucharist, but also through the living Word, the inspired Word of God, the Scriptures. Jesus speaks to us. We can read the Scriptures as a place of encounter with the living Lord Jesus. It's one of the things that I am forming in, Carrie and I are forming in our kids, is that sense of expectant faith that when you read the scriptures, you're coming into a living encounter with the living Lord Jesus, who's taking the initiative to approach you and knock on the door of your life. Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Every time you open the scriptures with faith, with a sense of expectant faith, with a prayerfulness, asking the Holy Spirit to stir within you that awareness, that alertness, that sensitivity, that as you read the scriptures, you're reading it as the word of God, meaning that the living Lord is approaching you, knocking on the door of your heart, wanting to come in, wanting to commune with you, communicate with you, speak your name, speak a word to you that you most need to hear. It's a living encounter with the living Lord. It's the coming of Jesus. It's an Adventus moment. It's an Adventus moment. Reading the scriptures in prayer is an Adventus, a coming of Jesus. And it's funny, it was Carrie and I had a party on the Saturday. It was a games night. On Saturday evening, had some families come over, and I was talking to one of the dads, and he has a daughter who's also a junior in high school, and we were talking a bit about college, and what are you going to do? Where are you sending your daughter? He wasn't sure yet, and he said, I'm trying to take advantage of the time that remains with my daughter still at home to be more intentional about forming in her a faith that's alive, a faith in Jesus Christ, to really have a sense of a living relationship with Jesus. And I said, oh, that sounds awesome. What are you doing? What are you doing to accomplish that? And he pointed to the scriptures. Now, he's not Catholic. He's Christian. And so he didn't have access to the sacraments and the Eucharist, but he did have access to the scriptures. So it was memorizing scriptures with my kids and talking about scripture. And for me, that was beautiful. It was a way for him to say, I'm being intentional about wanting my kids to have an expectant faith. Expectant. Are you ready? The gospel of last Sunday from Matthew 24. If the master of the house knew when the thief was coming, he'd be ready. He'd be expectant, right? When you're working in the fields, when you're working at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. There's that sense of what? There's an expectant faith, there's a readiness. And that actually brings up the next level of, where's the coming of Jesus in our lives? Well, we start with the biggest ones, but then we get down to the day-to-day life. Jesus, I'm with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us in the events of the day-to-day life. Jesus is with us. He's going to approach us. He's going to knock on the door of our right now in any of the moments of our day. But what? Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It was a key way that she saw life, that she's encountering Jesus in these distressing disguises, and she wanted to be Jesus for those that she met. So there's this beautiful circulation of Jesus. And so when you are rooting your life in an Adventus, in an Advent way of seeing life, that Jesus is coming to me in Holy Communion. He's transforming me into himself. I'm nurturing the presence of Jesus in my union with Jesus in prayer, in the scriptures, in quiet prayer, going to adoration. When I'm doing all of that, then when I go out into the world, I can be salt and light. I can be the sacred heart of Jesus. His heart can beat through mine into the world. Now, I shared this with you already, that this idea that I'm on the radio, but I don't want you to hear my voice. I want to be the microphone, not the voice. I want Jesus to be the voice. Jesus, may your voice be heard through mine. May my voice diminish. May it become less, and may your voice increase. And so, Lord, please, I want you to remove any obstacles to your voice being heard through mine. And Lord, I want you to cleanse the vessel of my voice, cleanse the vessel of my voice and my life so that you can shine forth more fully, more profoundly, more cleanly, more completely. That, brothers and sisters, is an Advent way of living. That is an Adventus life. That's what we're called to. We are called to approach this idea of the season of Advent as a God-given opportunity for us to cleanse the vessel so that it's prepared to welcome the one who is coming, and to remove the obstacles, to remove the obstacles that would get in the way of a fuller coming of Jesus into our lives. I unfolded all those different meanings of the coming of Jesus, the adventus of Jesus in our lives, so that you can now understand, you can begin to see, are you making the connection? Oh, that is going to mark how I go about the work of penance and penitence in this season. I'll get around to that theme when we come back. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. We're in Advent. It's already Wednesday, but it's not too late to get started if you haven't been thinking about how am I going to live my Advent season. In fact, if we're going to live the season well, we better have the right vision for it. And we look to the church's liturgical season to help us, not to the world around us. The world around us is going to make it more difficult for us to understand how to live Advent. We really want to look to the church's teaching. And so as the church prays, so the church believes. So we've been looking at the scriptures that were given to us on the first Sunday of Advent. Today I'm looking at the gospel and pointing out that Jesus says, look, you can have two people working. One is going to be taken, the other will be left. So there's something different. It's not what they're doing. They're doing the same thing. They might be doing, in fact, what is their duty. They might be doing their job. But one is doing it with a sense of alertness and awareness and expectancy, a readiness that the other one isn't. And that makes all the difference. So how we go about living Advent just might make all the difference. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, and I referenced it yesterday, that there's a difference in understanding or vision regarding the idea of penance when it's associated with Lent as it's compared to Advent. So real quickly in Lent, what is the meaning of penance? When we fast, we deny, we do prayer, fasting, almsgiving, right? So it's one of the three fundamental disciplines that you do to express the Lenten season correctly. Remember now, what's the vision of Lent? It's about accompanying Jesus into the desert. It's about the Exodus. It's about moving from slavery in Egypt with Moses being led by the Lord through 40 years of purification and preparation, formation, and then entering into the promised land. It's with Jesus being inspired by the Holy Spirit, pushed into the desert there, fasting and retreating with the Lord, facing the spiritual battle at the end of the time in the desert, and then entering into public ministry, right? So those are the two key metaphors inspiring visions for living our Lent. It's the Exodus, and it's being with Jesus. Now, penance then is connected to that. So penance has two different manifestations. It's mortification and asceticism. Mortification is putting something to death, mortify. And asceticism, it comes from a Greek root that means spiritual training, spiritual disciplines. So there's a training dimension and a putting to death dimension. And if you imagine making a journey through the desert, you can imagine that that journey involves a walking away from, a leaving behind, and a heading towards. The leaving behind is what? Leaving behind Egypt, leaving behind the slavery of sin, the slavery of the time in Egypt. Remember what the Israelites did. They complained to Moses about this rotten food. This, why do we have to eat this wretched food? The manna that came from God miraculously provided every day what they needed, and they're complaining what God is providing and how God is providing it, not recognizing with incredible humility and gratitude that the Lord is most generously and mercifully providing it. So one dimension is that they've got to put to death the desires that would pull them back into slavery. Isn't that one of the things that is so prominent in our lives? We have fleshly desires that would keep us attached and in spiritual bondage to the things of this world, to the things of the flesh, to sin, not honoring God, not becoming a saint, not growing to love the Lord more fully, not fulfilling our mission more completely. Okay, so that's one, is that Lenten penance is about putting those desires of the flesh to death. And then the second part is the asceticism part, the training, the spiritual training, so that when you fast, you're becoming more attuned to the spirit. You're becoming more, you're freeing your mind to in heart to be elevated to spiritual insight and revelation. So you're not only putting the desires of the flesh to death, but you're also spiritually training yourself, attuning yourself and forming yourself to be able to live more fully and completely as a child of God in this world. You're getting ready to enter the promised land where you're going to live your identity. You're getting ready to accompany Jesus out into public ministry where you will do the work that he has for you to do. You have a mission, not just me. We have a mission that is to be salt and light in this world, right? We are to make a difference. And we'll make a difference if we're spiritually trained to do so. So fasting and self-denial and other acts of dying to self are about training us. So that's Lent. That's not Advent. Advent's different. It's not about us journeying with Christ towards the promised land away from slavery. No, Adventus is about getting ready for the coming of Jesus. Make ready the way of the Lord. Level the mountains, fill in the valleys, make straight the path, because the King is coming. Prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist is the figure of Advent. It's preparing the way for his coming. So, two aspects to this, and this is going to give us the meaning of penance in Advent. Two aspects. The first is, we have to remove obstacles that are getting in the way to the coming of Jesus. There are things that are blocking the coming of Jesus into our lives. There are obstacles that have to be removed. So that's the first element, is that when we fast and do penance, it's about removing obstacles. So we'll explore that. But that's the first aspect. And then the second one is what? Well, I mentioned to you we had games night. And so games night on Saturday night. And what did we do around the house with the party happening at 6:30 in the evening? What were we doing at 5:30, 4:30, 3:30, 2:30, 1:30, noon? Go backwards. Go back a day. Go back a few days before that. Yeah, it was getting the house in order. Getting the house prepared for the coming, well, the coming of what? Of the invited guests, the expected guests. We knew when they were coming. We had sent out the invitation. We knew, hey, come beginning at this time, and we'll be ready to receive you. And so the other aspect of Adventus is we know Christ is coming. We know he's coming. We're getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Not only are we going to make straight the path, so remove the obstacles, but we want to prepare the home, prepare the heart, prepare the space that will receive him. And so the meaning of penance in its various forms, acts of self-denial and dying to self and the other things that we do, are really all about preparing our hearts to receive the Lord, making more space, cleansing the vessel, so that when he comes, he'll find a space that's clean and ready to go. Funny to say, when the party was happening after a girls' basketball game that our daughter's on the team, and after the game, we said, come on over. So the game ended, we zipped home. And our daughter, who was the last one here doing the last final touches on things, wasn't ready. So we arrived the same time as some guests, and we came into the kitchen, and I'm like, oh, goodness. And one of the moms said, can I help? Can I help? I said, no, it's okay. They just went and sat in the other room, and I quickly had to kind of clean stuff up, fix some last few things, and get the rest of it ready, because prepare the way, you know, be ready at a time you know not. You want to be ready. You want to have everything in place and just so. And so we were 95% there, maybe 98% there. But boy, that little gap that happened at the end, because we just lacked the five extra minutes, meant that things were just a little bit out of order. Welcome to our world, right? So what do we know? We know that in this Advent season, we can undertake the work of getting spiritually ready by doing both of those things, removing the blockages and preparing the vessel, preparing our hearts and our homes to receive Him. So I'm going to dive into both of these aspects. What does that look like? How do we spiritually prepare ourselves? And even, let's just say, environmentally, like personally, family customs and traditions, what do we do to have a great Advent? Well, let's start with the first one. The first one is the easiest one, because if I said to you, what are the things that are most prominent in a parish's life when you think about the Advent season in terms of an activity? Well, it's a penance service, right? So that would be the typical thing. And doesn't it make sense, right, that there would be a penance service during Advent? Why? Well, it's the way to remove the biggest blockage, the biggest impediment to the coming of Jesus more fully into our lives, right? We know that when we commit a mortal sin, we are severing ourselves, we are cutting ourselves off from sanctifying grace, from the very life of God within us. And so going to confession is principally about reconciling with the Lord, receiving this spiritual resurrection where we become restored in our union with the Lord, and the flow of God's grace is at work in our lives again. But it actually has other very important impacts, apart from the most important, right, the most crucial, which has to do with forgiving mortal sins. Right? Again, you know this, a mortal sin is a deadly sin. It's a serious sin that's committed with full knowledge and full consent of the will. That when that's happening, then that's when we've committed a mortal sin, and those must be forgiven through going to a sacramental confession, unless there is a perfect act of contrition. We're not talking about that case. We're talking about the normal means by which the Lord has established us to be reconciled with Him is going to confession. This is something that I really encourage you to be intentional about. Bring it up in your family meeting. If you have a time to get together with your family, talk about when is the penance service. Let's not be caught off guard if it's going to be next week. It's probably next week. It might be 2 weeks from now. You'll find that many parishes are offering increased times for going to confession. So find out when confession's happening. The second thing, which is so crucial, is find out prepare yourself for that confession by getting a good examination of conscience so that you don't just sort of stumble into going to confession and now you're waiting in line and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't really prepare myself for a good confession. No, you want to be able to take time and do this again. You can do it as a family, have some pencil and paper. You're not saying your sins out loud, but you're taking time as a family out loud to examine your conscience and get them and you to be reflecting on the sins that need to be removed. That getting those biggest blockages out of the way is a huge part of what Advent is about. So we do not want to sell that short. However, there's also the other very valuable and meaning use of confession that has to do with venial sins. What are the graces associated with that? I'll tell you in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com.
To the program, one of the spiritual practices that we'll do in our own home is read the scriptures together. And when I say we, I mean my wife, Carrie, and I have four daughters at home, a senior in college who's saving money, believe it or not. Sometimes you got to step away from full-time college to save more money to finish college. Yes, so that's her situation right now. She's taking a couple of classes online while she is also working mostly. to save money. It's actually a great blessing to have her around the house as well, having an older sister for the three that are two in high school and one in seventh grade. But we will, a couple times a week, use a scripture passage to reflect on together. And honestly, that's all about this idea of preparing for the coming of Jesus, this Adventus spirit. I have taught them, and they end up trying to figure out what are the C words that are supposed to be connected to Jesus coming close to us in the reading of scriptures, Jesus approaching us in the scriptures. They'll say communion, communication. Actually, those are two of the three, but contact. The three are contact, communication, and communion. But they end up throwing in a bunch of other C words that sound like that as well, but don't really get it. So they're still learning. They're still learning to memorize the proper order. And the proper order is that Jesus takes the initiative to come and make contact with us. And then when he does, by us opening our hearts to him, he will communicate with us. And I want them to experience that. Again, I want them to experience that in a time of family prayer so that they come away saying, wow, that was really powerful. That was really beautiful. I sense that there was more than just nice conversation that happened, or wow, there's some clever commentary that was shared, or interesting insights. No, there was something more than that. God is speaking to you. God is sharing something with you. And so we did that. We used on the first Sunday of Advent in the evening, we lit our purple candle for our Advent wreath. We'll talk about that in just a minute as we get our house prepared for the coming of the Lord. But we looked at the gospel from Sunday, the Matthew 24 gospel, and it was so interesting. Remember now, what do? We say a prayer that the Holy Spirit would stir within us a sensitivity to what it is the Lord wants to say, that we'd be able to hear the knocking of the door of our hearts. And then one of the kids will read the scriptures, and most of the time having to correct them to say, slow down, read it prayerfully. So they'll read it, and then I'll say, okay, now in silence, go back and read over it again, slowly, carefully, prayerfully, with a listening heart, with an open sense of you're listening to the Lord prompting you, drawing your attention to a particular word or a verse or a section of the scripture. So we did that together, and then after a little bit of silence, okay, who would like to share first? And then the kids will each share what it was that struck them about the passage. What am I attempting to do? What are Carrie and I attempting to do? We are trying to get them to have that sensitivity to the living Lord coming to them in prayer. So as we did that with this, interesting insights showed up for the kids. And one of them was that there's this reality that, wait a minute, they were both at work. And one got it and the other one didn't. And so I shared with you just a little bit earlier in the program, how are we going to, in the course of our day-to-day lives, prepare the way for the Lord, remove the obstacles to recognizing him, communicating to us, knocking on the door of our today? Well, it's going to happen in our prayer times, in our family prayer times, that then can maybe foster and promote and nurture that in our individual prayer times. And then from there, it'll be something that we are more open and available to recognize happening in the course of the totality of our lives. At any moment, the Lord can come and knock on the door of your lives. Okay, so the fast, the penance, going to confession, examination of conscience, super helpful in this regard. As a season of penance and penitence, fasting is another form that takes. Traditionally, these are called ember days. There are a couple of ember days in the third week of Advent, but I encourage you to consider giving something up, not with the Lenten spirit, but with the Advent spirit, of saying, Lord, I want to remove an obstacle that is getting in the way of me really being prepared to have you come. I would say the biggest thing that gets in our way is the distraction of what's going on in the world around us. And there's the, let's call it the ongoing general distraction of smartphone and internet use. And then there's the specific seasonal distraction that involves things like, hey, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, special deals, shopping, all of the holiday season stuff. So whether it's, oh goodness, there's Christmas music that's being played on the radio every day since Halloween, or it's how many parties are we going to be invited to that are Christmas parties, but it's the season of Advent and we're waiting for his coming. So you can see how the wider society around us is not tuning in to the Advent season, but that's no excuse for us. We can be aware of what's going on around us. I'm not saying don't go to Christmas parties for work or friends' houses or other events that are happening in family, neighborhood, et cetera, but you can still approach your entire day and you can still bring this Advent spirit with you into your life by being more restrained. Now, if we're not going to be so restrained on things like, oh, we're going to this party, well, what's the generic distraction that is for many of us an addiction? Well, it's smartphone use. Can we even get away with not having our smartphone around us as we go to any room and every room of the house at any moment of the day? From the first moment that we wake up in the morning till when we go to bed at night, that thing, we're practically cyborgs. We're practically attached to that technology and utterly reliant upon it to be able to make it through even the next 15 minutes to an hour. We get anxious if I can't find my phone. So this might be for you a great opportunity to reflect and say, maybe this is a distraction from my really preparing myself, preparing the way for the Lord to come more fully into my life. So I'm going to encourage you, and encourage you in the Advent season to pray and to say, Lord, reveal to me what I can fast from, what I can deny myself in this season, precisely so that I will be honoring you, I will be honoring this season, this moment. For Lord, I do not want this Advent season to go amiss. I do not want to miss out on what you have in store for me for this Advent season. The second element that I've mentioned, the second part of our preparation for Advent is the preparing, not just preparing the way for the Lord, like in the wider world, but the environment in which we're living. Remember, it's not just make straight the way of the Lord, but prepare for his coming. If you knew when the master of the home was about to come, you would be ready for him. What about our homes? This is where I rely on the gift that my wife brings to our married life. Married couples, just realize that not everyone is gifted in the same way. And so be grateful to the Lord that if you have a certain gift to bring to the family, that gift, it can be used to enhance and express who you are as a family, who you are as a couple, how you want to show up to anybody that's coming into the home and to the wider world around you. And if your spouse does not have that gift, then that becomes an opportunity for your spouse to celebrate, affirm, and support the gifting that the other brings. Do you like how I just said that? Guys, what I mean is if your wife is really good at getting the home environment in the home set, maybe you're going to have to do some of the heavy lifting, like getting the Christmas tree, setting it up, carrying the boxes of the ornaments and other things, putting up the lights outside, or elements that they say, we're going to work hand in hand here, but I am not going to be the one that decides where the creche goes or the wreath goes or the other wall hangings and things that get put up in our home. She's got a gift for it, and she's created traditions around it that have helped my family to be able to celebrate the Advent season in anticipation of Christmas, keeping the focus on the Lord, but letting the home shift with the season. That is one of the maybe underappreciated ways that we evangelize, that we proclaim the good news, that we announce who we are and how we are going to live as a family in this world, is the environment that we create. Having an environment that's well-ordered, that's not just a mess, right? Sometimes you can walk into a home and you can see and you get a sense of disturbance, right? Just because just things are really messy. That's just at one level, right? That's one level of just sort of getting things cleaned up and in order, stuff put away, trash picked up, cleaning up after yourselves and all that. But then there's the, how do you enhance the environment? Right, so in typical seasons, well, we have a statue of the Blessed Mother, we have a prayer area, we have crucifixes, things like that, right, in the normal course of our home environment. But in the seasons of the year, we will emphasize what the liturgically we're celebrating by having that also reflect on how we're having in the home, how we're living in the home. So, of course, I mentioned the primary one, which is a wreath. So if you don't have a wreath, get a wreath. And get the four candles, the three purple candles and the pink. I said pink, but I know it's not pink. It's a rose-colored candle for the third Sunday of Advent. We'll talk about Gaudete Sunday and the powerful spiritual meaning of rejoicing even before Christ has come. It's a very powerful spiritual practice. We'll talk about that. But that's just one, having a wreath with the candles. That's just one custom that we've had. Do you have a creche? Do you have a manger scene? And if so, there are lots of Catholic traditions around that. Everything from you don't have the baby Jesus in the manger scene. Kids can do good deeds and they can add straw or hay to the manger to make baby Jesus comfortable. And you're associating the comfort of Jesus to your kids' good works. A Jesse tree, which can actually be some kind of tree or a mapping out of a day-to-day reflections on the coming of Jesus as the Son of David, the long-awaited Messiah. Those are just a variety of customs that we can do in our home to enhance the environment. So, all right, we're up against a break. When we come back, continue this conversation on how to have a great Advent. Welcome back to the program. In this Advent season, we're in a time of year where it's dark and getting darker, it's cold and getting colder, and it's a spiritual metaphor for our lives without Christ. Until Christ comes, our lives are, in fact, trapped in darkness and getting darker, cold without the love of God that would warm our hearts and bring us to the call that we have to know and love and serve Him as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because of Jesus and His coming to birth in our lives. That's what we want for our families. We want Jesus to come to birth in our families. And so this Advent season is a chance for us to reflect very specifically on that theme. There are a couple of other customs that we have done, not always, but things that we found to be blessings when we've been able to access them. One is Rorate Caeli Masses. And these happen on Saturday mornings in Advent. So your first Rorate Caeli Mass would be coming up this Saturday. And it's a traditional way of celebrating Mass that it's typically very quiet. And it doesn't involve electric lights. So it would involve candles, candle lights. And the idea here is that you're going to have Mass begin in the dark with the rising of the sun occurring as the presence of Christ comes in Holy Communion. So at the consecration, at the time of receiving Holy Communion, you're having sunrise. So it becomes this beautiful correspondence between the outer world, the physical world in which we're living, that the light is come. The light is coming into the world. Yeah, it's dark. It's getting darker. We light a candle with expectant faith, waiting for the coming of the light of the world. And one way to do that, you get up early Saturday morning. You go to the Mass, the Rorate Caeli Mass, and you are saying with your bodily presence, making that effort to come out, Lord, we are vigiling. We are expectantly waiting for the coming of the light of the world. Jesus, come and be our light. I remember we learned about it. This was only just a handful of years ago, and we found out, oh, there was a parish that was doing the Rerate Caeli Masses, and we said, let's do this. And so we did it. Carrie and I really enjoyed it. The kids, not so much. Having to get up early on Saturday morning, not a school day, and it meant leaving the house because we had to drive to where the Mass was happening. Oof, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning. It was early because, again, to have Mass end or receive communion at this moment where the light of the sun, you know, the sunlight, the sunrise is occurring, that, you know, it's a powerful signal. It's a powerful sign, but it costs something. It costs my kids a bunch of sleep. But we were thrilled we did it. So we're new here in the Boise area, so we're going to go poke around and see if we can find out, is the Rerate Caeli Masses happening in this area? That was one. You know, other ones that mark this idea of the flow of time, I mentioned the Jesse tree, obviously the Advent calendar. Now, I know most of us, when we grew up or we brought our kids up, the Advent calendar was more about you pop open the calendar and there's a little piece of chocolate or some sweet or candy that's there. It's intended to be more meaningful than that, but fortunately for my kids, do you think they had the ability to wait and open one a day, only one little compartment? Yeah, that didn't happen. They always claimed that there were some mice that came and opened them all up. Yeah, they did not, but it didn't. That was not always successful for us. That was not as successful having Advent calendars. But again, it's a great way to draw attention to whether it's the feast days that are happening or a scripture verse that's happening, kind of like with the Jesse tree. Carrie had put together a metal candle holder, but used it to hang the different verses that you'd find in sort of Jesse tree cards that you could hang. And it would be, again, it would be building the story of salvation history, this flow through time, waiting for the coming of Jesus. So each of these things are doing what? They're marking this flow of time, but it's not just a flow of time where we're headed towards, where we're going towards, but it's the Lord who's coming to us. It's coming to us. And so I want to encourage you to utilize these customs in your home as they make sense to be able to reflect on what's happening in the Advent season. Now, Carrie's going to be on either tomorrow or the next day. She's going to be on, and I'll have her share some of the other things that we do that are associated with feast days that also happen during the Advent season. So St. Lucy, because we have a daughter named Luciana, we celebrate the Feast of St. Nicholas. And so we do that in a way, again, a special custom, tradition that we have in our home. Building faith traditions in your home is a really beautiful way of making the supernatural natural. Okay, making the supernatural natural. By that, I don't mean flattening what is associated with the divine, but rather drawing it into the ordinary course of our lives so that our kids and we never forget that we are not at home. This is not our home. Oh, I'm living in a place that I call home. Yes, and my family sleeps here and eats here, etc. We welcome people to our home. But you know what I mean. This is not our ultimate home. Our ultimate home is heaven. And we want our kids to put our focus on Jesus and having a trajectory-changing encounter, meeting with Jesus. And a true encounter. It changes the trajectory of their lives. That's what we want for our kids this Advent. That's what we want with our kids in every Adventus, every coming of Christ into our today. If I go to Mass in the morning, I'm going forward to receive Holy Communion. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, change the direction, the trajectory of my life in a way that would more fully glorify you. I give you that permission. I ask, I seek, and I knock, right? The beautiful gospel from Monday, if you went to Mass on Monday, the powerful gospel of the centurion who has a servant who is severely sick. He's paralyzed and has suffering, so dreadful suffering, right? That was the scripture. And what did the Lord say? I'll come. And he said, no, you don't have to. I'm a man of authority. And I say, go here, go there. And I know that, no, Lord, I know even now that you have authority over what's happening under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. That is, and what this is one of those incredibly rare times where Jesus reacts to someone by referencing this particular verb to describe his reaction. Jesus is amazed. He was amazed at the faith of the centurion. He was amazed because the centurion had that expectant faith, that great faith that said, Lord, your authority rules and reigns over my home. Speak a word. Lord, may your word come and demonstrate that authority in what's happening in our home. So there is an incredible example of an Advent figure, someone who was preparing the way for the Lord. He was clearing away the obstacle. He came, there's Jesus, he sought him out, and then he said, please, may your word with authority come into my home. That's the scripture that is referenced in the liturgy for us, as you know. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, just say the word and I shall be healed. We are being given the words of the centurion to be our words. We are being told by the church, schooled and educated, informed by the church's liturgy to say, this is how we are to believe as we approach Holy Communion. As we approach the Lord to receive him in Holy Communion, we are to be manifesting amazing faith, a faith that will amaze Jesus. Now, isn't that the challenge? Isn't that the, the convicting message to us? Does my faith amaze Jesus? I want it to. And so that gospel from Monday, let's let that gospel be a gospel for our Advent. Lord, please come and exercise authority over what's happening in my life, in my marriage, in my home, in my kids' lives, and in my wider family life. Lord, I look to you this day. Come with your authority. For Lord, we are paralyzed, maybe not physically paralyzed, but there are situations in our lives that make us feel paralyzed, unable to move, stuck, and we are dreadfully suffering. We are in dreadful, you think that word dread, right? There's this sense of being sort of traumatized by this like anxiety over an impending doom or an impending situation. What do we need? We need a Savior. Let's not hold back in coming before the Lord in our Advent, in this Advent, in the way that the Lord intends. Just remember, as I'm finishing up the program today, just remember, it's the Lord who has established this as the season of Advent. It's the Lord who has established through the church that this would be a fresh start, a new beginning, a new year in your journey with the Lord. And we begin at the beginning, which is we begin in a place of awaiting. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming and taking the initiative to knock, to speak our name, to come into our homes, to come into our lives, to communicate to us the blessings and the graces that he has for us, and then to nurture in us an ever more profound union so that we would radiate Jesus. We would allow him to shine forth through our lives to a world that is in desperate need of light. So many are in the dark. We who have received the gift of faith live in this light of faith, and we are meant to let that light shine. Let's be salt and light to the world this Advent. Let's not settle for less than God's very best. God bless.